Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening, this first Wednesday in the season of Advent, is the passage I just read for you from Revelation chapter 1, particularly verse 9. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, if you own a house or rent an apartment, the insurance companies will often tell you to make a film of the contents of your home, of your dwelling. A film of your television or computer or stereo, or at least the more valuable types of items that you might have in your home. The reason, of course, is because there might be a fire, or there could be an earthquake or something like that, and you could lose everything, but you can report to the insurance, this is what I had, to get some of it back, perhaps. We have the same thing tonight. We are told tonight what we have, what we own, what we possess, what is ours in Jesus Christ. And it's all included in one little verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, John the Apostle writes, I, John, your brother and fellow participant in the affliction and kingdom and patient endurance that are in Jesus. Now, what you may not realize is that right there you have the book of Revelation in one short sentence. People can go on and on about 666 and the mark of the beast and what Babylon means and all sorts of things and get very far afield, but what we have here is the book of Revelation. I, John, your brother and fellow participant in the three things, in the affliction, kingdom, and patient endurance in Jesus. A summary of the book of Revelation. And a summary of the Christian life. One short sentence. What do you own? What does the film tell you? What's your possession? Well, if you're in Jesus, you have affliction. If you're in Jesus, you have a kingdom. If you're in Jesus, you endure by the grace of God and by His Holy Spirit. Affliction, kingdom, endurance. And so are three Advent Wednesdays. But tonight we talk about one of them. We talk about affliction or tribulation. Jesus promised us that, didn't He? He made a promise. There are all sorts of Bible promises, and one of them is, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. In this world you will have tribulation. Now in response to that you might say, well, everybody has tribulation. It's the nature of this world. It's the nature of a fallen world. Things aren't the way that they should be. Everybody has trouble. And that's true. And sometimes it's also true that unbelieving people reap even more trouble than you and I do. Because if you don't seek the Lord, you're not looking to the Lord, you're not trusting the Lord, you're not wanting the Lord to lead your steps, when you go out to sow your seed, don't be surprised if you reap a harvest of weeds in your life. But what if you do seek the Lord? What if you do seek the Lord? What if your faith is in Jesus? Because that's where it can get confusing when we hear the word affliction or trouble or tribulation. Matter of fact, it can get so confusing that the Bible has to answer it. The Bible has to speak to the question. And this is what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, Beloved, remember that you're beloved of God. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. That's a confusing thought, because many of us, perhaps most of us, were not raised to look at our faith in that way. We weren't raised to that. We weren't raised to see our faith as a fiery ordeal or as a testing. Rather, most folks, I have a feeling, would look at their faith as a moral way of living. In other words, be kind, be good, be helpful, share about Jesus. For some of us, maybe our faith was tied to things like art or music or youth group events and seminars and retreats and that sort of thing. And besides, if you take it all together, what is honestly so wrong about Christianity? What's wrong with it? You may remember the old catechism definition. If you studied the catechism as a young person, there was a question: what is Christianity? Answer to the question: Christianity is the life and salvation that God has given in and through Jesus Christ. And that's a good thing, because this world is messed up. And look in the mirror. You're messed up too and lost. But the Lord came to do something about that. He came into this world. We call it Christmas. We call it Good Friday, where He took our sin. We call it Easter Sunday, where He went to prepare a place for us. And how could you quarrel with that? What's there to quarrel with? And yet, you know how our faith can be hated. And over the years, called every name in the book. Our Lord Jesus promised that again. In the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you: a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept My word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for My name's sake, because they do not know the One who sent Me." You can't hardly explain it. It doesn't make any sense. Why is it that for some people, Jesus is the fragrance of life, but for other people, He's the aroma of death? And the Scripture simply says, well, they don't know the One who sent Him. Jesus says they don't know the One who sent Me. Now, because of that, there have been rough times for children of God. Different periods throughout history when things haven't been very easy. One of the worst of them came between the Old Testament and the New Testament. A period of about 400 years between the prophet Malachi and the Gospel of Matthew. 400 years. In Sunday school, they used to call them the silent years. Well, they weren't really silent. What they were trying to say was is that there were no more prophets during that time. There were no more books added to the Bible to give guidance during that time. There were great persecutions during that time. The Messiah had not yet come at that time. It was a time of waiting. And if you look at it, you recognize that it's a lot like our own. Like our own time. Because our Bible is finished. It says very clearly, don't add to it. No more. This is where it ends. And you hear more and more about Christian people being opposed and Christianity made fun of and people being persecuted. And the Messiah, of course, has not yet come back as He promised that He would. So we're in a similar time period. So what do? Well, you draw a deep breath and you continue to confess like we do just about every Sunday. And you say, He will come. And He will come to judge the living and the dead. You draw a deep breath and you still pray the prayer, the closing prayer of the Bible, the very last thing prayed in God's holy word, which is, "Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come soon." What do? You draw a deep breath and maybe you have an ear for some words from a man who lived in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, in that time of waiting. And this is what he had to say. Child of God, it's not scripture, but this is what he had to say. We'll call it just a good sermon. He said, "My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. Cling to the Lord. Do not leave him, that you may prosper in your last days. For in the fire gold is tested, and God's chosen people are tested in the crucible of humbling. Trust in God, and he will help you. Make your way straight, and hope in him. You that fear the Lord, wait for his mercy. Do not stray, lest you fall. You that fear the Lord, trust in him, and your reward will not be lost. You that fear the Lord, hope for good things, for lasting joy and mercy. Wait, trust, hope." What do you own? What's your possession as a child of God? God's word's clear. Revelation 1, verse 9. It says there's affliction. It does come. In this world you will have tribulation. But there's two other things too. There's the kingdom next week. And the following week, there is what? Endurance. Stay the course. Hold on to the Lord. Wait and trust and hope. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.